It's a mirror. In nature, in animals, we see ourselves. Despair, love, hope, heroes, and villains. Now, whether the animals themselves are aware of these emotions or themes is difficult to know or even investigate, but...
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
Do us a poem.
I am a ghost named Seldom Seen. I mastered the ability to ignore phony people and telephone rings at an early age. I am Horace Tapscott and Billy Higgins round about midnight at the world stage, trying to explain a love supreme to a band that's been infiltrated by the powers that be. I shop work, I style free, I attract all manners of divine yeses, so eventually ain't won't nobody know me. I am Jimmy Baldwin. Nobody knows my name. I am Sun Ra, Third Eye, marching jam session through the streets of Harlem on the way back home from a gig, yo dig. This level of righteous sincerity can only be lived by those who have become comfortable with silence. I am a spirit named Seldom Seen. My scene is the quietest side of the temple archives. You will recall back in grammar school roll call when so many children were just here, but a few of us, we were present. We hyperactive listeners. We overhear minus the ear hustle. We muscle our way into our own subconscious. We're comfortable with the idea of poems taking multi-year gestation periods. Writer's block is just a myth perpetuated by the impatient with the patience of outpatients, while we believe in the poem taking as much time as it requires to itself, to write itself, before we even endeavor. I am a spirit named Seldom Seen. I show up on the scene with all types of invisible flashy chains and rings. I am D the schizophrenic. I have no ego. I cannot be motivated by controversy or gossip. I'm an aberration. I can only be seen through the mind's eye. I do not reality show. I used to catch a flight every 3.5 days. Used to sit and listen to poets at least 4 times a week. I've studied the parameters of my art form. I am confident in the space from whence I speak. I used to channel Thelonious Monk, but I had to strike chords to eat. But now when young poets ask me for advice, I tell them to consistently figure out what you emphatically care about, then continuously dig deep, baby. Dig deep. I am a spirit named Seldom Seen. And you're liable to hear all types of crazy and strange things about my past, and you should always feel free to ask, but the short story about my dark ways is how I took the long path to enlightenment. And now I live in a brick church with no windows and stainless glass floors, plenty of open archways where some choose to project their own doors, and who am I to talk? I mean, I still have to work on not projecting mine, till I'm Geechee Don, effortless to connect with, but damn near impossible to find. My head is in the clouds, my body in the wind, and my spirit is to help you find your own until I'm seldom seen again.
This is the song of the Kauai O'o bird. In 1987, this species of bird became extinct. There are no more. But before the last living one died, its song was recorded. This is that song. It is the song of an endling, the final member of a species, asking to no one, "Hey, where are we all?" It's a male calling for a mate that will never come. For what it's worth, the song is still here. We are listening to it now because it was recorded. The species is lost, but the song isn't, and that's the heart of something really big. Remember that the word record comes from core, meaning heart. To record is to re-core, to bring something back into your heart. Echoes. Fossils, bones, footprints. Nature's memory is only so immediate. I mean, even light itself scatters, is absorbed, and dims according to the inverse square law. The universe forgets slowly. But we, humans, have created special ways to preserve moments, to take them and turn them into stories, things that can be shared, recorded, retold, disappear perhaps much later than they would otherwise.
I don't know why, but every year at this particular ceremony, I have an irresistible desire to ask for a cigarette and a blindfold.
Have we been on an intellectual search for truth, or have we been here, as far as the mass media is concerned, have we been here on a pursuit of entertainment?
Remember the September 7th Commander-in-Chief Forum where Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton appeared separately but back-to-back for 30 minutes each? According to an email forwarded to us late last night and originated from a Comcast email address, the technical crew for NBC, which produced the event, is now speaking out about what took place moments after Clinton walked off the set. A massive profanity-laced tirade aimed at NBC's host, Matt Lauer. It turned out that Clinton had been fed all the questions for approval in advance of the forum. But then, after the approval process, Matt Lauer had a change of heart and decided he would start his questioning with an unapproved line concerning Clinton's use of an illegal private server for her sometimes classified work-related emails.
Let me ask you something ahead of time that I'll ask Mr. Trump in a half an hour. To the best of your ability tonight, can we talk about your qualities and your qualifications to be Commander-in-Chief and not use this as an opportunity to attack Mr. Trump, all right? And I'll ask him the exact same thing.
I think that's an exactly right way to proceed.
Okay.
This is a very important decision for our country, and each of us should be presenting our experience, our expertise, and our plans to protect and defend the United States and our allies around the world.
What is the most important characteristic that a commander-in-chief can possess?
Steadiness. An absolute rock steadiness, and mixed with strength to be able to make the hard decisions, because I've had the unique experience of watching and working with several presidents.
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
The word judgment has been used a lot around you, Secretary mm-hmm. Clinton, over the last year and a half, and in particular concerning your use of your personal email mm-hmm. and server to communicate while you were Secretary of State. You've said it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. You said you made not the best choice. Mm-hmm. You were communicating on highly sensitive topics. Why wasn't it more than a mistake? Why wasn't it disqualifying if you want to be Commander-in-Chief?
Well, Matt, first of all, as I have said repeatedly, it was a mistake to have a personal account. I would certainly not do it again. I make no excuses for it. It was something that should not have been done. But the real question is the handling of classified material, which is, I think, what the implication of your question was. And for all the viewers watching you tonight, I have a lot of experience dealing with classified material, starting when I was on the Senate Armed Services Committee, going into the 4 years as Secretary of State. Classified material has a header which says top secret, secret, confidential, nothing. And I will repeat this, and this is verified in the report by the Department of Justice. None of the emails sent or received by me had such a header.
But Director Comey also said this after reviewing all the information. He said there is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
Well, Matt, I just respectfully point.
According to a Comcast official, the parent company of NBC Universal, who apparently was quoting those on the set, when Matt posed the one legitimate question about the FBI investigation concerning her homemade server and the unsecured emails, we could see she was beginning to boil. According to an NBC associate producer of the forum, as soon as Clinton got off the set, she exploded. Hillary proceeded to pick up a full glass of water and throw it at the face of her assistant, and then the screaming started. She was in a full meltdown, and no one on her staff dared speak with her. She went kind of manic and did not have control over herself at that point. How these people work with this woman is amazing to me. She really didn't seem to care who heard any of it.
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
You really had to see this to believe it. She came apart, literally unglued. She is the most foul-mouthed woman I've ever heard. And that voice at screech level, awful.
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
She screamed she'd get that effing Lauer fired for this. Referring to Donald Trump, Clinton said, "If that effing bastard wins, we all hang from nooses. Lauer's finished, and if I lose, it's all on your heads for screwing this up." So crooked Hillary fears the gallows, eh? Interesting.
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
Her dozen or more aides were visibly disturbed and tried to calm her down when she started shaking uncontrollably as she screamed to get an executive at Comcast, the parent company of NBC Universal, on the phone. Then two rather large aides grabbed her and helped her walk to her car. Matt Lauer was massively criticized for the rest of the week on air by the Clinton campaign and the rest of the MSM as having conducted an unfair and partisan attack on Clinton. According to the email, calls were made to the New York Times, the Washington Post, Huffington Post, and Twitter executives with orders to crush Matt Lauer. One staffer on the Clinton campaign told the NBC staff that they all fear Clinton's wrath and uncontrollable outbursts, and one described Hillary as an egotistical psychopath. Since Hillary does not allow any staff to have cell phones when she is in their presence, no footage is available. Interim DNC chairman Donna Brazile, the first black woman to hold the position, was singled out by Hillary during the rant. She screamed at Donna, "I'm so sick of your face. You stare at the wall like a brain-dead buffalo while letting that effing Lauer get away with this. What are you good for, really? Get to work. Janitoring this mess. Do I make myself clear?"
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
A female NBC executive said that Donna Brazile looked at Mrs. Clinton and never flinched, which seemed to enrage Hillary all the more. The executive continued, "It was the most awful and terrible and racist display, such a profane meltdown I've ever witnessed from anyone, and I will never forget it."
So judgment is a key.
Temperament and judgment, yes.
That woman should never see the inside of the Oval Office, I can tell you that. She was unhinged and just continued to verbally abuse everyone. She was out of control. Why did Lauer ask his rogue question? According to sources close to Lauer, because the American people deserve an answer from the former Secretary of State.
Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead?
Here's your problem. Someone set this thing to evil.
Feel I'm better off staying in the same room I was born in. I look outside and see a whole world better off without me in it, trying to transform it. You are out of my mind. Oh, you aren't seeing my side. Oh, you waste all this time trying to get to me, but you listen, I know this one's a contradiction because of how happy it sounds, but the lyrics are so down. It's okay though, because it represents, wait, better yet, it is who I feel I am right now. You are out of my mind. Oh, you aren't seeing my side.
Sound.
not willing to take you down. Get to me, but you are out of my mind.
Heard you say, not today.
A day on the campaign trail, and we're going to start with Kelly O'Donnell, who has some of the latest on what was a brief scare, albeit happily only a scare and a bit of a miscommunication, according to what we're learning from the Secret Service. Kelly?
Well, Ari, you describe it right. It is a case where perhaps nerves are on edge as we're so close to Election Day, and there has been an atmosphere that has included some violence and threats of violence along the campaign trail. So tonight in Reno, at approximately 9 o'clock, there was an unidentified person who shouted the word gun, and that happened in close proximity to where Donald Trump was at the lectern on stage. As you can see, there was a quick reaction from Secret Service. Donald Trump was rushed off the stage, and what law enforcement officials are telling me, and now in a formal statement, no weapons of any kind were found, and they are continuing an investigation. The good news, no injuries, no real crisis here, and we got to see in real time the training kick into gear for not only Secret Service, but the local law enforcement who were there as they are at most events.
This world is such a, and when I say this world, I mean it. I don't mean in an ideal sense. I mean in every day, every little thing you do. It's such a, gimme, gimme, gimme. Everybody back off. You know, everybody's like, you taught that from school, everywhere, big business. If you want to be successful, you want to be like Trump, gimme, 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 push, 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 step, 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 crush, crush, crush.
I don't want to see him kissing goblins, ingratiating goblins, in bed with a goblin. I don't want to see him kissing goblins, succubus with goblins, ingratiating goblins, in bed with a goblin. I don't want to see him kissing goblins, ingratiating goblins, in bed with a goblin. Kissing goblins, ingratiating goblins, in bed with a goblin. Dump it. Charging into a goblin's nest, some goblin vomit and slop and blood on it. Especially up to his ankles. Trump charging into a goblin's nest, some goblin vomit and slop.
Goblin vomit and slop.
I'm not expecting him to not get dirty slop. Kissing goblins. Ingratiating goblins. Succubus with goblins. In bed with a goblin. Kissing goblins. Ingratiating goblins. I just just wanna catch him in bed, 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 bed with a goblin, bed with a goblin, in bed with a goblin, in bed with a goblin, in bed with a goblin. I just wanna catch him in bed with a goblin.
Great heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
It's like the best show ever.
Well, I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but I am here to tell you who not to vote for. Don't vote for anyone who says, I'll fight for you. Because that person is full of crap and has no intention of not only fighting for you, he doesn't know who you are. He or she's just moving on to the next town where they can point at the next sap and say, I'll fight for you. So tired of these politicians and their town hall meetings when somebody stands up and says, I'm pregnant with quadruplets. I've been put on academic probation at the junior college and my milkman hates my guts. What are you going to do for me? And my answer is nothing. But here's the good news. We live in the United States. You can do something for you. Feel free to get a job and fight to keep it. Let me give you a really good example of people doing too much for others and us coming apart at the seams as a society. You guys remember when you were kids and you'd fake an illness and you'd stay home from school and you'd sit there on your sofa and you'd watch daytime TV. Hey, I'm Wally Thorpe, School of Trucking. You can get to trucking too. Be a long haul trucker. Get your license. Hit the open road. Make a good living. Learn typewriter repair. Learn toaster repair. Remember all of those commercials? Every single commercial was geared to somebody who was out of work, but who wanted to work. Why? Well, it's Tuesday. It's noon. Who's going to be home watching this TV show? People who are out of work. What do people who are out of work want to do? They want to get to work. Thus, they learn to drive an 18-wheeler. Now, look at every commercial that's on during daytime TV. Wrongfully let go by an employer? Slip and fall in a supermarket? You can sue. Hi, I'm attorney Lance Bassman, and I'll fight for you. See, the same people that say they're gonna fight for you are the same people trying to get you free crap when you won't get off your ever-enlarging butt that's now melding and becoming one with your sofa. Fixing your screwed up life is not the government's job. And by the way, when does the government do a good job at fixing anything? I mean, I live in Los Angeles. We pay the most in taxes and we get the least in education. I want the government to do stuff that I can't do. Stop a war, end a plague, that kind of stuff. Stuff involving me, stuff involving my family, stuff involving my community. I can handle that. Also, don't vote for the politician who says, I know it's not a level playing field. I'm going to level it for you. That's impossible. It is mathematically impossible to have a level playing field. What are we going to do about fat people being discriminated against? Some people are born with one limb shorter than the other. Other people are born with a Brillo head. There's nothing we can do about it. The government's job is to clear the playing field, not level the playing field. Since it's impossible for them to level the playing field, just clear it of all the landmines and all the barbed wire and let us get to work. And don't worry, this is a great country. The harder you work, the more you score, and eventually your team goes to the Super Bowl. So let's review. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'll tell you who not to vote for. Don't vote for the guy who says he's going to get rid of all your problems, take care of you, and tuck your kids in at night. You see, humans need challenges to overcome, just like a muscle needs resistance to grow. In a zero-gravity environment, an astronaut's muscles atrophy because there is no resistance. The government giving you a bunch of handouts and living your life for you is basically the equivalent of doing push-ups in outer space. Look, Ma, I can clap five times, just like Rocky in between sets. Big government is like the void of space. It's massive, constantly expanding, and If we immerse ourselves in it, we'll simply wither away.
Friend of mine, let me show you how the days in between have become so few. Friend of mine, united by
is the end, friend of mine.
Go away, Biden!
I want to welcome you to the first presidential debate. The participants tonight are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
I have put forth a plan to defeat ISIS. It does involve going after them online. I think we need to do much more. But we also have to intensify our air strikes against ISIS and eventually support our Arab and Kurdish.
Excuse me, if I may interject here. ISIS is not real. It's actually an invention of the CIA.
And I would also do everything possible to take out their leadership.
Oh, you mean Benjamin Netanyahu?
I kind of assumed that there would be a lot of these charges and claims.
I have a charge and a claim. You are a war criminal. You should be tried at The Hague and sent to jail. For a lot of things, actually.
We have taken the homepage of my website, HillaryClinton.com, and we've turned it into a fact checker. So if you want to see in real time what the facts are, please go and take a look.
Well, I have a fact. The U.S. illegally invaded Libya under false pretenses.
And it's just a fact.
Well, hey, I got another fact. Before the invasion, Libya had the highest standard of living in Africa, including free electricity and free health care.
Well, the fact checkers, get
folks,
to work. Well,
hey, I got another fact. Under your watch, the U.S. spent $10 million a day on bombing campaigns in Libya, specifically targeted at civilians.
I made a mistake using a private email.
That's for sure.
And if I had to do it over again, I would obviously do it differently. But I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a mistake, and I take responsibility for that.
I get it. I totally get it. And I can relate. I've made some mistakes too, Hillary. But you knowingly and willfully concealed government documents, which technically means you're ineligible to hold office. So legally, you're not even supposed to be on this stage right now.
Well, I think you've just seen another example of bait and switch here.
Kind of like what happened with Bernie, right?
I want to make America great again. We are
seriously troubled. Are you kidding? This is a joke, right? You don't want to change this system. You love this system. You wouldn't be where you are today without this system. You're just helping your friend win the election, right? Come on, right? Seriously.
So is it President Obama's fault? Is it President Obama's fault?
Oh, my God, your arguing is insufferable.
Secretary, is it President Obama's fault?
Friends,
there
this are, is all
because he's pushing.
This, there rigged. Are. This election is rigged like every election is rigged. You were picked to be president a long time ago, and you're so unlikable, they depict someone this vile to run against you so that everyone's voting against him, but not really for you. You know what? I want to live in a world where there's no debt, where there's no war, where there's no drone strikes being dropped on innocent children. I want to live in a world where there's no homelessness, where there's food for everybody. I want to live in a world where kids know how to grow food so we can get rid of companies like Monsanto, because everything in nature is abundant if we know how to work with nature. And lastly, if you really want prosperity, I demand the decriminalization of the cannabis plant internationally, effective immediately. It cures cancer. Fact.
Get off the stage.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.
Or test. No, wait. Hold up.
Hold up!
up, hold up. Hey, listen. And you're not focused right now.
Hold up. Smoke weed every day.
That's not even funny.
Millennial voters seem unimpressed with both candidates. They care about issues such as education and student debt, racial issues, and of course the justice system. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura, of course, won election in the state by going after young voters and really hitting the college campuses extremely hard. They came out in droves. He joins us tonight, and he will be joining us for our special election coverage coming up on Tuesday night. Governor, good to have you with us tonight. I'll start this out with just your take, your gut check from what you have consumed as a news viewer. Where are we tonight? What do you think's going to unfold?
Where are we? Well, in my opinion, election-wise, there's an old military saying called FUBAR. And unfortunately, Ed, I can't break that down for you because we're a family television station.
that's for sure.
No,
the lack of enthusiasm for younger voters clearly is an issue right now. Because how do you turn that around this late?
Well, I don't think you can. And the reason that they were enthusiastic for me, because I was a third party. I was not the status quo. You're looking at right now, when Donald Trump says that the elections are rigged, he's correct, but it's not rigged the way he believes it is. It's rigged that there's no third choice out there. This was the year that we should have been presented with more choices than the two we got. And if given those in the debates, I think you'd see a whole new climate going on. And that's what the millennials, the young people, are looking for. They're not looking for the status quo. And with Hillary Clinton, you're getting the status quo. You're getting the same thing that's been done for 30 to 40 years. And when Donald Trump picked Mike Pence, That solidified him to the Republican right, because nobody's more Republican than Mike Pence. And I think that's your problem. That's what I thrived upon, Ed, was the unrest of the two parties and how bad they are. I mean, they've ruined our country. Why would we vote for them?
Yeah. Well, down the stretch, this is the progressive nightmare. You think about Bernie Sanders and how many people he motivated, the great debates that took place, the crowds that came out. And this is the nightmare for the Democrats, for the progressives, the liberals right now. We're talking about emails. We're talking about investigations, and we're talking about lies. I mean, that is a downer for a lot of people right now. And I don't know how the Clintons are going to rectify that. You can play with the math all you want. The bottom line is the best endorsement is a vote. What would your advice be at this point?
Well, Ed, here's the unique thing. The original Trump people and the original Bernie people, they wanted the same thing. But one was far left, the other's far right. They'll never come together. They wanted a house cleaning in Washington. They wanted new. They wanted old out, in comes the new. But the problem is now the Hillary forces, by eliminating the Bernie people, they're the old, and then Trump aligned with the old. So the new is getting left out in the wind again, and we'll probably have to wait till 2020, Ed. Then maybe it'll have to be me, huh?
Well, I'm okay with that, but you got a golf routine that just cannot be interrupted, and I certainly don't want to have that hanging on my reputation that I told you to run because that would screw the whole thing up for playing 18 every day. But I do want to equate it to what we are seeing right now. Donald Trump is playing a long par five. Is he laying up the last week, or is he going for the green? What do you think?
Oh, I think he's got to go for the green. He can't lay up. He has a little momentum. I don't know how, but he seems to. And he's got to go for the green, no doubt about it. And Hillary's got to continue to play aggressive. But I personally, again, I'll state it again, I'm not voting for either one of them.
All right, so here's why, you guys. You can vote or you cannot vote. Obviously, it's up to you. But here's why. One, the idea that if you vote, you can't, if you don't vote, you can't complain, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense logically. What does make sense logically is if you vote for the winner, then you can't complain because then you did the research, chose to vote for this person, and you got them in. George Carlin was like, if you vote for anybody, you can't complain. That goes a little far from me. To me, it's like, if you vote for the winner, that's it. You have to be like, I did this. But here's the deal, you guys. It's a corrupt system. It's a corrupt system. You're not really voting for any change. You're voting for who gets your money, who gets the paycheck, and then does whatever you don't want them to do. I mean, none of you voted, when you voted for Obama, none of you were voting for literally like dropping bombs, drone bombs on wedding parties in Yemen, right? None of you voted for that. But that's what's happening. Your leader chose to do that. And so we're doing that now. He chose not to comment on it, so you haven't heard that much about it. I get it. We have two terrible choices. You don't need to vote against either one of them, especially if you're not in a swing state. If you're in a swing state, maybe you can justify it. Be like, look, I don't want Donald Trump to get in. I agree with you guys. He's a moron. He's a moron and kind of an asshole. He's a bro dude and he's old and he's creepy. I mean, they're all bro dudes. Don't forget, I mean, Bill Clinton was a president. JFK was a president. JFK was a movie star cheating on his wife publicly, which is fine. I mean, you know, have extramarital affairs if you want, but like, you know, that's bro dude behavior. Bill Clinton was blasting an intern in the Oval Office with a cigar, sticking a cigar into her piece. So an intern, someone who worked for him. That's bro dude behavior. It's always been that way. I'm not saying this excuses it, but that's the way it is. These guys are all bro dudes. Maybe Clinton's not. I'll give you that. Hillary Clinton's not. So I get it. There's no reason we want Donald Trump as our president. I don't want him as our president. He doesn't just represent racists, by the way. That's oversimplifying stuff. He also represents people who want jobs in America, people who are kind of sick of war. Obviously, you don't have to vote for him. But that doesn't mean you have to vote for Hillary Clinton. especially if you live in California or New York State, where it's already decided Hillary Clinton is winning. She's won already. Those aren't up for debate. The non-swing states, your vote really means nothing because it's already chosen. And if you go like, I'm going to go third party, well, why Gary Johnson? He's a moron. He's just a third person. And the idea that if you get the third party enough votes, now they're going to be part of the system, that's not true, you guys. History hasn't borne that out. Remember Ron, what was that guy's name? Ross Perot. Ross Perot was the last third party guy to really get a lot of like traction. I don't know if you remember him. And he got enough percentage of the primary. I don't know how it worked, but he was in a debate. They were in a three-person debate, all the debates, instead of two people. And you know what they did after that? They changed the rules. The Democrats and Republicans just changed the rules. So instead of being the League of Women Voters who were deciding who was in the debates, they're just like, nah, we'll make our own debates now. And it's a Democrat and Republican debates. If you think you're going to get your guy enough percentage and suddenly they're going to accept him and give away their power, that's not true. History hasn't borne that out. In fact, they will change the rules to take away power from third parties to make it even more difficult. Kind of like the way the TSA reacts. If you try to get a shoe bomb on, well, great. Guess what? No more shoes on, you know, you got to take your shoes off. So it's not going to happen. And also, Gary Johnson's a moron. Hillary Clinton wants to go to war with Syria. She's not hiding that fact. She's a warmonger. She's voted for and supported every war since she's been in any office. She's publicly said she wants to make a no-fly zone, imposing that on like Russia in Syria. She wants to go to war with Syria, and she will. She will. She's a strong candidate. She's a strong woman. She will be going to war with Syria. So there will be, if history is any indication, countless deaths of innocent people in our new country, the country of Syria. I mean, we will blow that country to bits, just like we did Iraq, just like we did Afghanistan. Thousands of innocent lives. That's what you're voting for. Or, if you live in California or New York or any other non-swing state, you can say, I'm not going to support that. I'll just let Donald Trump not win. But I'm not going to vote for a little kid to get their arm blown off. I'm just going to not vote for Donald Trump, and he won't win. But I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to support someone who is so clearly in the pocket of big business. I mean, aren't you guys at least troubled? At least troubled by the fact that she refuses to release those speeches that she gave to Goldman Sachs and all those other banks. Are you not at least troubled by that? By Bernie Sanders going a year asking her to release it, and she said, I'm looking for it. And then Donald Trump going another 6 months saying, release it. The public saying, please tell us what you told those people. And then her emails coming out where she says she has a clear stance towards business, a private stance, and a clear public stance that are two separate things. Are you not at least troubled that she seems to hide stuff like that? I'm not talking about the emails, different servers. That goes beyond me. I mean her refusal to release those transcripts of those speeches to the banks. Now, if I get speeches to banks, I don't want to release it. No big deal. You know why? Because I never got bankers off the hook for bankrupting this country. I never went and said, hey, guess what, you guys? You're not getting any jail time. Don't worry about it. But hey, hook me up with hundreds of thousands of dollars later. The system is corrupt, you guys. They're both awful. Do not participate. And people will say, well, if you don't participate, you're not making any change. To counter, I'll say two things. One, if you do participate, you're also not making any change. Your vote just empowers them. It just empowers them. You don't speak with your vote. You speak with your voice. You tell your friends, hey, I'm not represented. Do you guys feel represented? I don't feel represented. You tell 10 of your friends that you don't feel represented by our government. That goes a lot further than voting into a system that already doesn't represent you. So I suggest this, by not voting, here's what you miss out on. You miss out on the feeling of you making a difference. Because when you feel like you make a difference, when you haven't made a difference, you have appeased yourself in some small way. You have told yourself, I am changing things at least. I'm at least doing my part. But you're not. The result is you're not. You ever see those NFL things where you buy a pink NFL jersey? and it goes to the Susan G. Komen Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. And then you ever look at the actual money that goes to them? So 3% of those jersey sales go to Susan G. Komen. 3%. You buy a $100 or $60 jersey, I don't know what it is. Let's just say it's a $100 jersey. It's way easier. It's going to be way easier for me. $3 goes to Susan G. Komen. Susan G. Komen has their price to pay and all the people to pay and that work there. 3% of that goes to breast cancer research. So it is, let's see, $3 would be 3 cents, 9 cents. 9 cents of your $100 jersey goes to breast cancer research. Are you making a difference? Very negligibly. Why don't you just give a dollar of your own money to breast cancer research? You're not doing anything by voting, you guys. You're participating. So I say, get mad. Don't vote because there are no good options. And then feel angry for 4 years. Go 4 years feeling like I didn't even get a vote because they didn't even give me someone to vote for. You know, they're riding over this in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, they got the country, China got the country back from British rule, 99 years of British rule. And they got it back and they said, they finally go, okay, guess what? You're back to China. No elections. And they're like, no, we like elections. They're like, fine, here's two candidates. And they're like, the Hong Kong people were like, we don't like those candidates. We want other candidates. And they go, no, these are the two candidates you have. And they rioted, you guys. They said, that's not good enough. They stood up and said, that's not good enough. You're giving us no good choices. That's not good enough. And they rioted. They stuck up for themselves. I'm not saying to riot, but I'm saying that's the people who didn't take it. And they got beaten down. It didn't work out well for them, but they're not giving up. We've given up. Don't vote. Feel angry. Feel upset. And then next year, it'll be a little more likely that you'll get somebody. Or it'll go the other way, and they'll be less likely that you'll get somebody. You'll get nobody else. And you'll go another 4 years and not get anybody. And eventually, voter turnout will go down even more. Go down to 40%, and then 30%, and 20%. What would happen if 20% of the population voted? Would we even respect that vote? You know, is that something we'd even say is like the most important thing? Or will we eventually just go, nah, I don't really care what you guys vote for. That's not my president. None of us really voted for him. That's not our president. That's not our senator. We pay 3 times more in insurance than the next country, than the next most expensive country, and we get the 17th best coverage. We are owned by big business. Here's our two candidates. One is big business. One is in the pocket of big business. Get upset, you guys. Don't take their choice. Just don't vote. It's a corrupt system. Don't participate in it. Start looking at other ways to change it.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
Your means is caught up with your ends. Now, go find the others.com.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey, hey, hey.